Be the right club. Be the right club today. Yes!
Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most!
Expect anything different?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the No Laying Up Podcast. DJ Pi here, Tron here, Solly here. I think this is finally going to wrap our Masters preview podcast content.
A lot of pods.
That's it?
A lot of pods. No more guests. It's just us. We're going to shoot the shit and we're going to make some picks. We're going to answer some mailbag questions. Anything left that we haven't covered yet with Augusta. We're recording this on Friday before the Masters. We're going to release this on Tuesday, but we're going to be out of town. So we had to get this done.
We're not putting a lot of faith in the Houston Open winner. That they're going to really shift our thinking.
Julian Suri?
Could be. Go Jags.
Top 70 player in the world.
It's true. Had to Monday qualify to get into Houston. I love that. All right, let's just start it at the very top. Who is your guys' pick to win the 2018 Masters?
I feel like I'm going to sound like a jackass for some reason by saying this, but I'm picking Tiger.
Yes!
I don't care. I don't care how that makes me sound. I've thought about it. Maybe I thought about it like too much. I feel like I might be lost in the sauce or a little too deep in my own head, but I'm picking Tiger. I think like the way he has played, I don't know if this is going to make any sense, but I feel like the way that he's played the last two events like looks like he's playing in a major. And what I mean is that he's not playing enough, like he's not making enough birdies to win, but he's not making enough mistakes to really like shoot himself out, if that makes sense. And it's almost like I don't know. Does that make sense?
It does.
I don't care. I'm in.
Well,
I'm in.
Like what you're saying, I think is, you know, for a typical PGA Tour event, you know, there can end up being birdie fests a little bit, right? And you're firing at flags without really any inhibition, whereas Tiger's kind of plodding his way around.
That's what it seems like.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that Valspar, it's not like that was a birdie fest, and I know Bay Hill wasn't a birdie fest, so I'm kind of shooting my own argument in the foot.
It kind of was a birdie fest.
A little bit.
18 under one.
That's at Bay Hill?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Rory
a birdie fest.
Like 64.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. But yeah, I don't know. Just watching him the last few weeks it just seems like what he's doing is surgical. I mean, I don't know how else to explain it other than it was the same feeling that you get when you're watching him try to string together 72 holes of a major and just not make any mistakes and not push it too much and just kind of be super patient. And as long as he does that, I mean, the bones pod actually kind of like reinforced that pick and just, you know, him talking about all the history that you need and all the, you know, the long memory that you need to make all those putts. And I mean, if he's hitting his irons as well, you know, as he is, which he, you know, we'd assume hopefully that he will, you know, I think we've talked about it a lot, even on kind of the pods leading up here, is this is such a golf course where it's so dictated by your iron play and like hitting to the correct spots in the greens. And if he's doing that, he knows, you know, the putts as well or better than anybody, then, I mean, why not pick him? You
His
know,
if game he's healthy and, certainly feels a lot better than it did in 2013.
Right.
And he was a ricocheted shot off the flag stick.
Or 2010 when he wasn't playing at all and he finished fifth or whatever.
2015,
you know?
He was in the third to last group on Sunday when he was after sculling the ball all over Scottsdale. Like, he plays this golf course well. He hasn't won it in 13 years, which is insane. And he hasn't won it since they fully linked it in 2006.
That's a weird sentence, that he hasn't won in 13 years.
Right?
How about the fact that he was... From 2006 to 2013, T3, T2, second, T6, T4, T4, T40, T4.
The Tiger proofed it.
That's crazy.
I don't know. I don't feel, I felt like an idiot, like when it first clicked in my head that, okay, I'm going to pick Tiger to win. But I feel better and better as the time goes on. And as I find community with other people who feel the same way, I'm starting to feel a lot better about it.
And you wouldn't have made this pick after the Honda, but like what you saw at Valspar and Bay Hill was like enough to...
I think so, yeah.
Well, I mean, he doesn't have to, as much as Augusta now emphasizes driving way more than it used to, it's still a place that you can spray it around a little bit. You don't need to be dead straight off every tee. You don't need to hit a
ton of drivers.
I
mean, how many drivers do you think he's going to hit? One, two...
Six?
I thought you meant number six.
No.
Like, oh, wow.
Ballsy. That'd be bold. Be cheeky.
Yeah, probably about six or so.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, if he hits fairway with half of those, you know,
we're the problem in good shape. Is it's not a ton of two irons. Yeah. It'd be a lot of three woods. And he hasn't hit the three wood very well so far either.
But. So I was just looking at the weather forecast. It looks better than it did yesterday or the day before. We're recording this on Friday. Looks better than it did a couple days ago. Like, I think it's supposed to rain on Wednesday and then be nice the rest of the week.
Oh, cool. The one day we're going to be there, it's going to rain. That's great. <Sick.
laughs> So I don't know. I'm there it is. I'm picking Tiger.
I can buy it. It's not my pick, but I
feel
can buy
free to tweet at me if he misses the cut, if he shoots 80-80. You can make fun of me if you want.
He's caught up in the hype.
I don't care. I'm going to be a romantic.
It's justified.
I think that's why he lost at Bay Hill. I don't think it would have been, you know, it wouldn't have been as good a story if his first win was at Bay Hill. Way better story if his first win's at the Masters.
We got this question as one of our mailbag questions. It's, what do you think Tiger's true odds are? So, I mean, obviously his odds get artificially bumped because of how many people bet on him. But what do you think, like, if you were to say, what are Tiger's true odds to win if it wasn't really dictated by the amount that people bet on him?
So he's coming into the week at, what, 9-1?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a favorite at 9-1. JT and Rory are 10-1.
I mean, I'd put him in that same probably... I don't know. I'm not an expert gambler. But
I would say 20-1. I would put him like Rahm and Day. Like
Rahm
and
I was going to say 15-1. Yeah. But yeah.
I think he's right in there. I mean, it's inflated, but it's not crazy. Not like it has been the last four or five times he's played there.
I've said the combination of the amount that people bet on him and how he's played, he's justified to be the favorite. Yeah. I don't think that's ridiculous. I mean, it's usually kind of a joke. Mm-hmm. Tiger's 50-1. He's not even in the field. But this right. year feels very justified. So,
yeah.
All right, Trinaldo, who's your pick?
I don't know, man. I'm freaking out. I've been waffling back and forth. I've got Leishman at 75-1 on one bet. I locked in the McRib at 12-1 a couple months ago.
Bargain.
I'm going to stick with the McRib at 12-1.
12-1?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the thing that scares me about him is just, I mean, it's obvious, but just the putting, like, you know.
Yeah.
That was the thing. We were talking about it yesterday, I think, when we were kind of sitting around and like, you know, his win at Bay Hill was so not masked by putting, but I mean, it was it legitimately like the best putting week of his career?
Yes.
I mean, it's
for sure. Well, so I get that, but like
unlikely to duplicate.
I don't know. I feel like he's almost going to trick himself into thinking that Friday or Saturday is Sunday.
Didn't we hear he was out
because he always plays well. It's like too little, too late every year.
He was out doing the Jeff Knox research trip again this year, I think, right? Was that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
You know, I mean, I'm just looking at the other options.
Some good vibes going, finally.
I mean, JT could run away with it, or he could, you know,
yeah.
Or he could miss the cut. DJ, I don't know. He's the greatest player of all time, but, like, I don't know if he's primed. I think Spieth's been in the lab for the last couple months, but you know, I would have liked to have seen it click a couple of weeks ago, you know, so he's not kind of rolling in.
He's just throwing you off the scent.
It might be.
I mean, I don't know. People are talking about Ricky.
Well, let's preface this podcast with, like, we have no idea.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
We're not tipsters.
We're all just totally kind of shooting in the dark.
That's favorite Big Randyism.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Like, who do you think is going to win this week? I don't know, man. It's going to be
fun
interesting.
To watch, though. We'll see.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is, like, even more than usual, we don't know what's going on. Like that, like, which is the testament to the
field. I feel
like
there's 20 guys that I could legitimately talk myself into as a favorite.
Yeah, right. No, and make no mistake, if one of our guys wins, we're going to remind you about eternity.
I'm still triggered from last year. So, like, Randy and I have bet on Sergio to win the Masters, like, every year for, like, 7 or 8 years. We would book our Masters bets with Sergio in January, you know, get him at 50-1 or 40-1 or whatever. Last year was the first year I did not bet on Sergio.
Coincidence?
Are you doing it this year?
No, of course not.
Just let it ride. I think Rory, I don't know. I feel like I've talked myself into Rory so many times for the Masters that I'm scarred a bit. But
fool me once, shame on you.
fool me again.
Fool me 10 times in a row, shame on me.
I think if he was trending from a ball striking perspective stronger than he is, I think you could make the case stronger. But he could run. I mean, if that putting tip he picked up from Faxon, your boy, really is like that.
Faxon's supposed to call me at some minute here, so if I have to step away, that's why.
If that tip really was
supposed to give me a putting tip
ahead of next week. All right, I made the pick to start the season. I never change my picks. I probably should, but I never do. I'm picking Spieth every year for the next 20, and I think he's going to win like four of them. So
that's pretty good. It'd be better odds than usual.
Right, and the year I don't pick him is probably the year he'll win it. Yeah. So I'm sticking with it. If I were to change the pick, which I'm not, I would.
Just theoretically.
Just theoretically. It would be JT.
Yeah. Just because he's the best player in the world.
Probably he's the best player in the world. I think he has learned enough about the course. I feel like he comes in flying super high, super confident every year and just kind of gets smacked in the face by Augusta, which it does that to you. If you get too over anxious, you get too, you know, fire at too many flags, it can punch you in the face.
What's his record there? Do we know?
Not great.
It's not great, right?
No, it's not. But this is the first time we've seen him be the enter the Masters as like a dominant player, right? Yeah. I mean, I guess he had won three times last season leading up to it, but not in the same fashion that he has in the last couple of years. So I don't know. That would be the only guy I would change the pick for, but I'm not.
Great.
But I may remind you, if he does win, I may say it. I still might pull him. I told you so. So
really, really.
We should name off five or six more guys just in case. Cover your base.
This is the time of year where you just start listing off a million guys to the point where at least you named him at one point. Named him. Yeah, he could win.
That 80-1 to like 100-1 range, just looking at the list here, like Grace, DeChambeau, Cantlay, Cabrera Bello, Schauffele, Berger, Kisner, Oppy Bonrat. Like those, there's so much value in that.
Yeah.
But then again, like there's just too many. Well,
especially
too many
you can
get
guys. A bet on like a top five or something.
Yeah.
All right. So just because I think it's fun, give me one guy that you think will definitely not win. Just because I want to see that guy get to the top of the leaderboard and make you guys sweat a little bit.
Hideki.
Hideki will not win. You heard it here first. What do you think about Hideki's chances this week?
I don't think he can win this week. Famous last words.
Hideki might he might be becoming the forgotten man. Tron, your thoughts?
He's coming in injured.
Oh, he's definitely the forgotten man. Like he's like been forgotten.
Yeah.
He's injured.
I'm gonna say Ted Potter Jr.
We've talked about him before he got here. How nuts is it that Ted Potter Jr. is what, less than 2 months removed from a PGA Tour victory, and he's coming in at 400-1 right now?
Would you bet
he
him
has worse odds than Fred Couples, than Champions Tour player Fred Couples?
I wouldn't bet him at 1,000-1, to be fair.
I'll tell you who might have the best odds. I don't mean to get off topic here, but who might have the best odds on the board? Ross Fisher at 200-1.
That's strong.
I mean, he's got his record here is like low-key really, really solid. I don't think he's going to win, but it's T30, cut, T15, T47, T41 for kind of a nondescript player.
Yeah.
So
we've made the joke enough about how everything's trending towards this being one of the best Masters ever that Brendan Steele's probably going to win. We should probably take a flyer on him, right? Like 150-1. He is the most likely guy to just spoil everything.
I could see Ross Fisher's a good spoiler.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a ton of game. Played in
Is Ross Fisher the European Brendan Steele?
He might be. A lot of people are asking. Tron, who's your guy that will not win? Oh, you said Ted Potter?
Yeah, that was kind of tongue in cheek. I'm assuming we're talking about kind of the favorites here.
Sure.
I would say Jason Day. Not gonna win.
He might win.
I'm
gonna say Patrick Reed.
As silly as this question is, did Tiger ever officially commit to Augusta? Like, did he have an announcement for
it? Wow, I don't know. You're saying maybe he's not playing.
No, I'm gonna guess he's
5 p.m. today. We'll
I'm
have
just
to see.
Curious. I don't remember seeing like a big freak
man,
out.
When did the tee times come
out? If we post this on Tuesday and it turns out Tiger's not in the field, this podcast is gonna look very stupid.
When did the tee times come out?
Sometime Tuesday, right?
I think they do it Monday.
Monday
maybe.
Evening.
I think so.
I feel like Tiger and Phil are going to be paired together.
You think so? I was going to ask that. Who do you think Tiger's going to get paired with? That's interesting. I bet he gets like J-Day and...
Yeah, they always give him a really comfortable...
Brant Snedeker.
Snedeker's played with him like 20 times this year already.
Exactly.
I don't know. I don't know if they'd do that. I could see...
Like J-Day and Norman.
Well, and I think Augusta for like... I think they, in kind of a cool way, I think they usually kind of use the stars to try to give exposure to some of the international players and stuff too. It'd be cool...
Sharma
and Tiger. Yeah. How good would that be?
I love how everyone just refers to him as Sharma because nobody wants to try to say his first name, myself included.
Yeah, that's guilty. How about Cantlay? That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
Pair Tiger with Cantlay would be sweet.
That'd be great.
Not really. Kind of, again, shooting my own theory in the foot there on the international stars, but I think it'd be cool.
All right, the week is finally here, guys. It's Masters Week. Our friends at Callaway have 15 guys in the field this week, and as always, they're going to be bringing the heat with some great content from Augusta National. We talk a lot about their products, but they also have a pretty incredible media production group that's going to be doing a lot of good stuff this week. Go to CallawayGolf.com. Take a look at the Callaway clubs and Chrome Soft X golf balls that Phil is playing, defending champ Sergio Garcia, and others have in the bag at Augusta. I don't know if you saw, we got the no laying up towel on Mark Leishman's bag as well this week. Looks pretty good on that blue Rogue bag. Be sure to follow them on Instagram and Twitter at Callaway Golf. They got an exclusive giveaway that they got going on right now. You can enter to win one of their Slick Masters commemorative coins. I saw them this morning. They turned out incredible. They got a Sugarloaf Pimento Cheese Sandwich logo on one side. They're not being sold anywhere, so be sure to check out Callaway's social channels. Enter to get yours. Be on the lookout for more great coverage from Callaway. Now let's get back to our final wrap-up podcast, and then the Masters is going to be here. All right, let's do – this is one of DJ's favorite questions. I like this one. All right, you get three players to pick, and you have to choose – if you had to bet three players versus the field, who are your three guys that you take against the entire field?
I love it that we're this deep into the podcast. Nobody's even mentioned Mickelson yet.
I know
we've done a lot of Mickelson content the last week. So
I'm taking Mickelson as one of my three. I'm going to take Mickelson, Justin Rose, Jordan Spieth.
Would Justin Rose be a spoiler if he won?
Yes.
I don't think so. I mean, it would be.
He's kind of. He might be. He's like the Mendoza line of spoilers.
I wouldn't be rooting for it, but. I mean, the guy has been so good.
He's a stud, but like, it's not one that you're going to tell your kids about. Like, yeah. Oh, I remember when Justin Rose won the Masters.
Yeah, I agree. I would lean him on spoiler. That's my own just personal.
He low-key let last year get away from him pretty badly.
Yeah. My three guys are Tiger, Spieth, and JT, I think.
Okay.
You're going very safe.
No, I think your ceiling is higher, but your floor is lower.
I think that's fair. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going pure chalk. Spieth, JT, DJ.
Okay.
Like the top three.
I mean,
players.
DJ's he's coming in super under the radar.
He is.
Why is that? He's not really.
We're just flush with.
It's just too many good players.
Flush with stars right now. Like, how long ago already does Phil's Mexico win feel like?
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking about this. I mean, again, this is Tiger centric, but I was thinking about this in regards to Tiger the other day. It's weird that we haven't. You know, it's been a couple weeks now. Like, we saw him a couple weeks in a row. That almost, like, it almost feels like it wasn't real or something. Like still the idea that we're going to get Tiger in form and healthy and stuff, like, doesn't... It almost feels like it was, like, a dream that we saw a month ago, three weeks ago.
You could take Tiger out of the equation, and we would still be, like, equally as excited for this Masters. And I mean,
equally?
It'd still be awesome. Like,
yeah, it would be great.
Equally, but, like...
But, like, Tiger's Tiger.
I mean, God, so. I'm sitting here talking myself into Paul Casey.
I know.
T6, T4, and 6th the last 3 years.
Paul Casey's the ultimate top five bet, if you can get one.
Yeah.
I think he'll definitely be there.
Have we covered sleepers and deep sleepers enough yet? Do you have any guys that are like, all right, this guy's not going to win, but I expect this guy to play well?
I think Cameron Smith.
Okay.
I think he's 125-1. He played last year, made the cut last year. I think he's coming in playing really well. And I think his game is pretty well suited for Augusta.
Norin at 40-1. How do you feel about that?
I'm not sure that's deep sleeper, but you expect him to
play
well.
No, no, no. It's just he's kind of right outside that. He's like the
just outside.
Maybe the leader of the B flight.
Yeah.
You know, playing as well as anybody right now.
He's gonna be on like 90% of the greens in regulation, so I would see no reason why he wouldn't be.
That's why I always look. You know, when you're doing like Masters pools and stuff, it always seems like they get broken out into like different flights and stuff. There's a lot of guys in that. Like, I feel like that B group is pretty top heavy between like Norin, Fleetwood. I'm trying to think, like, those are like the two guys that really stick out depending on kind of where the dividing line is.
For someone who's won a Masters in the last 5 years, Adam Scott is pretty far down the
list. Pretty far down that list.
66-1.
Yeah.
I know he's not necessarily trending, but man, this golf course is. Guys,
he's had a couple
well
of decent rounds in the last month or two. I think Oppie Bonrat, man, 100-1. He's only played here once, but he was tied for 15th in 2016.
How about Bryson showing a little form recently?
Yeah, that's terrifying.
I think he might be up there.
What if we get like a Bryson Bubba.
Oh, dude,
showdown.
I'm in.
I'm signing up for that.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Bryson Bubba, Patrick Reed.
Yeah, we haven't talked enough about Bubba. Are we afraid?
Bubba might win.
He probably will.
I mean, Bubba's got to be on your list of like five favorites or less, I'd say.
I would think so. There's like a group of eight that if you told me, like we talked about that, if you told me they were a favorite, I'd be like, yeah, that makes total sense. I don't know. It would be very Bubba-like to win it this year. Three green jackets. We tied Phil. If he was one short of Tiger, oh my God, we're due. We're way too hyped for this Masters, and we're due to just come down. Let's get into some questions. What do you think?
Let's do that.
What's your guys' favorite hole on the front nine?
It's easy. Three.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think.
Why so?
It's the most fun if you're there. I think like it doesn't always come through on TV because it doesn't always like get shown that much on TV. But to see how elevated that green is and how severe that is if you miss is awesome. To just stand there and like watch guys all day, it kind of sucks. You can't, like, I don't think if I'm remembering right, you can't get very close to that green.
Close to it, but yeah.
So you got to kind of like hang down in like the low left but just watching shots come into that green is so cool. And then it's got the whole strategy element to it and. You know, changes depending on where they move the pin and all that stuff. I think is great. What are you?
I mean, I was gonna say three, but I love eight too.
Yeah,
there's mounds up there, and just the way that I like to stand on the tee shot on two.
Yeah,
and watch them shape the ball right to left around that corner. That's always cool. I think nine's underrated, but yeah, three for sure.
Mine was number two. I love. Par fives. I think my four favorite holes out there are probably 2, 8, 13, and 15. But two is it's interesting to see watch guys hit off that downslope and the shape of that green, especially when they put that Sunday pin in the back right, watching guys like land in the middle of the green and see if it feeds all the way back there. That's my favorite hole to watch on the front nine. So, but it's all like it just all right. Like Speed's on number two now. This should be a birdie hole. Like it just gets your interest. It gets you like pretty focused.
I mean, there's not that many. I feel like the front nine sort of gets shit on a little bit. There's not really not that many bad holes on the front. I mean, four and seven. I like
four, five.
I think five is. I think five is really cool.
I don't like five.
I don't know how it's gonna be. I think they lengthened it this year. Is that right? But
is it lengthened for this year's?
I don't know. I can't remember.
I thought it's for next year's.
They didn't call me and tell me. I don't know. But
four sucks.
Five green is really cool. If anybody's going to the tournament this year, I would say
you walk in right there.
You walk in right there, and if you can stand and just watch guys putt on number five, that green is insane.
Yeah, four is just. It's too hard.
Yeah.
It's what like it's Phil was trying, I think, in 2012, Bone said that he was trying to miss in a bunker.
How nuts was that?
And that's when he pushed it left, hit the grandstand, went in the woods, played it right hand and made triple and lost.
You know what Augusta doesn't have? I guess you can never mind. It's a bad take. I was gonna say they should make three. It doesn't really have like a drivable par four.
There's no other par fours under like 440 yards.
Exactly. I was gonna say, but you couldn't have three and four back to back. I was almost gonna say you turn four into
17.
Like I suppose.
We'll get 17 drivable par four.
He's got an article coming out next week about it. I think seven low key stinks.
It's terrible.
So walk through some of those changes because that. A big part of why it stinks.
Well, it was like supposed to be a hole designed after 18 at the old course. It was supposed to be like kind of a drivable four, but 340 yards. I mean, in that day and age, not that drivable, but under the right wind conditions, you could drive it near there. But
A pitch and a pitch.
Yeah, that's why the what we're talking about. They've lost all of the short holes on this golf course. They're all long now. So the green, and then they moved it back to about 400 yards. And that hole made a lot more sense then, but they narrowed it even more and moved it back 55 more yards. So a hole that was originally 340
uphill
plays 455. Guys tee up and have to hit off a downslope into a green that's perched up and is completely surrounded by bunkers. There's no option on how to play the hole. Like everybody, guys pound driver or three wood down there, whatever.
And it's such a cool spot on the property. Yeah, like it could be really.
Basically, like the center of the property, right?
Like the green is cool too, but like you can't if you're gonna. I would at least like encourage guys to play run up shots to it. Leave them openings in the front if you're gonna make them play off a downslope.
I think that was the whole Bone said that they hit it in like they hit it in the patrons.
Yeah,
on purpose. The green's so shallow that and you're coming off that downslope that like he had like a five iron into the green. It was impossible.
Right.
He's like, if I'm gonna make four, I gotta hit it in the patrons here and try to get up and down.
What they did with 7 and 11 was just make the holes too. I just made them challenging in relation to par without and took out all the strategical elements to it, I thought. So, yeah, seven's probably definitely my least favorite, probably hole in the whole course. So, All right, what's like the most... All right, I like this one. What's something you guys dislike about the Masters?
Oh, man.
How long do we have?
Yeah, there's more than you would think, I think, at least for me. But you go ahead, John. Lead off.
I think the whole self-important...
Yeah, just the sanctimony of it.
Yeah, it's overly sanctimonious. Yeah. And kind of the preachiness of it and... You know, it's
almost a victim of its own success.
A little bit. It's kind of overly cloistered
in that I obviously get the, you know, starting with these are the traditions of the place and this is the history and we need to honor.
That's great. It's rooted in history.
And that's cool. Yeah. But the problem is like, as everything else has gotten away from that, Augusta has kind of leaned into it, but really just kind of stayed the same where everybody else has changed and it just amplifies more and more and more, you know, how loud that feels every year. And it's just gotten to the point now where I'm like, man, it's really hard to listen to this.
Well, I think like for me, a good representation of that is the piped in bird sounds on the telecast. Or like,
well, that's what I was going to say. Birds, no squirrels. That freaks me out. I don't know how.
Did you guys ever hear how they got caught with the piping in the bird sound?
Oh, so good.
That some guy was listening to the broadcast and was like, well, that bird is not indigenous to this region. And that's like how they got caught doing it.
And then, you know, I think if you're so rooted in the history of the game, and you've had arguably the greatest golf course architect of all time route the course and lay it out in Alistair McKenzie, and you're going to go away from that and go away from some of his key tenets and
almost all of them.
Yeah, and it really have it play so kind of overseeded and artificially, you know, it's like I think it sets a bad example for the rest of golf and for superintendents everywhere to you know, everybody thinks equates green with good and
part of that is not, it's hard because like I don't know, there's a million things about the club that I think just like makes it kind of
creeps you out
gross and like not my thing.
Not my tempo.
But you know, it's hard to tell a club like, hey, you're not allowed to do this. It's more just like, cool, I'm not interested in being a part of that. But from the golf course perspective, it's hard because like you said, it has changed. It's just ruined so many other golf courses. Kind of, I don't know if that's its fault that it did that or its fault that bad superintendents
there's a responsibility
and bad club memberships and all that stuff, you know, have leaned too heavily on kind of the Augustification of all these different places. Whether that's the club's fault or not, it's hard to say. I mean,
I haven't listened to your pod with Andy.
It's not out yet.
Okay. There you go. But like, you know, I imagine like some of the stuff that he talks about in that with centerline bunkers and just kind of, you know, bringing it back to even just the scruffy bunkering of McKenzie and all of that, especially on such a severe site would be so cool.
Yeah.
It's frustrating, and I'm not like a student of architecture, but it's frustrating to read books about the origin of Augusta and then see the course now and be like, oh, man. I mean, it's totally lost its spirit. At the same time, Augusta is amazing. Like, they have some of the best greens in the world probably as far as the interesting nature of them, not only how easy, like, beautiful they are to putt, but just the contours and the shapes and how they match the shape of the hole. But at the same time, like, it was supposed to be this wide open field that you guys can right. choose their routes to it. I think technology has kind of influenced the need to change, whereas, you know, it's not that interesting for guys to choose routes to the hole if it just means bombing driver as far as possible and hitting a flip wedge over any bunker that blocks the angle, right. whatnot. So I think a combination of technology getting out of hand, scores getting really low, and kind of feeling the need to protect par has really changed things. I think the spirit of the place still existed up until the late 90s, until they started bringing in trees and bringing in the second cut and all that. But
I think the they play up the whole Bobby Jones thing a lot too. And the place feels more Clifford Roberts than Bobby Jones.
Yeah.
And I think that's...
It was Bobby Jones's...
His influence and his vision and his initial kind of the principles behind some of his stuff, I think, has been lost over the years. And that's a longer discussion.
Yeah. It's just a weird... I don't know. I have just such a weird, like, personal kind of relationship or feelings about it. I mean, it's so weird to go there. I mean, I know, you know, all three of us have been there and walked around, and it's just weird to go to a place and have the takeaway be like, oh man, there's not a blade of grass out of place. It's like, oh, well, that, like,
it's kind of weird.
Yeah, that's why. But why? Like, that's fucking weird that that's like that. And it just, like, the more times you go there, and it's easy to be blown away the first time and just kind of basically, like, it's like sensory overload when you're there. Like, it's just, it feels like you're in like a dreamscape or something.
Well, I mean, almost.
Well, the more times you
go
there, it
does feel like a dream because you're like, oh, I've seen this place on TV so many times.
Exactly. The more times you go there, the more it's kind of like, all right, this feels like I'm in Disney World. Yeah. And these are just kind of like plaster, you know, like plaster mounds covered with felt or something.
It's like, it feels like a recreation of a real place instead of a real
place.
Totally
agree. Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of the criticisms by all of us and from, you know, a lot of people are come from a place of, because it's so great, like this is the greatest tournament, that we kind of look at some of the stuff under a microscope. Whereas if we don't have that many great things to say about the Houston Open, right? But we could, I mean, we could shred some of that part. So it does kind of feel like nitpicking every year when we start looking at the negatives of
Augusta. I think
you
hold it to a crazy high standard.
It's not perfect. Yeah. It's so far from perfect.
But yeah, like going, you know, and there's so many... You know, there's so many awesome elements about it, where like of the telecast and of what they've done with the range, and like they've made some awesome improvements over the years.
Yeah, I'm Joe Ford.
The positives so far.
I mean, there was two commercials for a couple of years.
It's insane. Yeah.
I mean, so you know, it's like 99%, 1%, but yeah, going back to that responsibility and kind of, I think they've gotten lost in the sauce on certain stuff and not given quite enough importance to some of the more substantive
things.
Well,
it's just like, I mean, Sally, I know you're there too, but just picture like the difference between going to the Masters and going to the Open at St. Andrews and how different that is, how different the vibe is, how like when you're at the Masters, it feels like, I don't know, it just feels like you're like, it's almost too much of like you're going to do something wrong and you're gonna, like walking on eggshells the whole time. Whereas when you're at the Open, you're like, man, I can go play this course and I can hit that shot and I can do all these different things.
Well,
so
that's, I feel like you always wrestle with that. You always say like, yeah, the aura of the place is built upon the tenet of exclusivity.
Yeah. Like the, yeah. And granted, it's a phenomenal golf course, of course, like as well. But yeah, I mean the whole, you know, what makes it so unique and so crazy is that nobody's allowed in.
Yeah,
except for that one time. You know, it's got like a Willy Wonka,
and it also
kind of
though
vibe to it.
The only time I've been, I was kind of blown away at how much the patron experience truly meant to them. Like all the volunteers and everyone is kind of like truly there to make sure you have the best possible day.
For
like,
sure,
the concession
and
stands
the
are
concessions
cheap.
And that's, the merchandise
we talk about every year.
The domestic and the import.
Yeah, I mean it's like
Klondike Park.
It is Disney World.
It is. Yeah. But as a fan, like it's some of the most fun days I've had.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
You know, it's so fun.
No,
to
they
go
do. Like the end result is the one of the most exceptional things on the planet.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, like we're obviously nitpicking here.
Yeah.
But I think in something that I do every time is just I wait till like the very last possible moment. I remember one time I was there like a Thursday or Friday, and just waiting. Like I was one of the last people out. Off the property and watching the mowers
go
so down
cool.
between where the old drive, like where the old driving range was, like in the midst of, you know, between 18 green and 1 tee and kind of that whole area there. And like watching, you know, 20 mowers go down in a line.
Yeah.
And
that was supposed to be the buy hole.
The place just seems so, it's so expansive and so, so cool when nobody's there.
Totally. That's why I think like my favorite times I've been there is like Wednesday when the course closes for the par three contest and all there's no players on it. And so most of the fans leave as well. And you can just go walk the 18 holes with no players on them and just look at the golf holes. Like, that's my favorite time to be out there. Yeah. We need to do that on
Wednesday.
It's so cool.
So yeah, we are going to go. We'll do, as fans.
We'll do a walking tour. Sally can host a walking tour. On your right, you'll see number three.
We're going to drink beers. We're going to walk the course. No media obligations, no nothing. So if anybody's out there Wednesday, feel free to grab us. Let's grab a beer. Let's have some
fun.
One
of my missions
is a rarity for us.
I want to look for the USB ports.
That's true.
In the trees.
Yeah.
Well, this is a legend. It's a legend that we've heard. We don't know if it's true, but you hear a lot of weird things about Augusta, and you hear a lot of weird, you know, when one tree falls over, they replace it with an identical tree and like, you know, all that kind of stuff. But we've heard there's USB ports in some of the trees that only photographers,
only
certain photographers have access to. No idea if that's
true. So they
don't
have to go back to the media center to
It sounds
to,
like it could be
their
a, could be a joke, but it's so absurd that I kind of believe it.
Oh, I definitely believe it. I don't suggest like going up to random trees and searching them for it. That might get us kicked out.
I feel like we should talk. I don't know if anybody cares about this, but about why like the media experience at Augusta versus going as fans.
For us?
Yeah.
You tell it. Break it down for us.
Well, I don't know. Like I feel like, you know,
I've never been saying,
like,
media,
we got a little, we got kind of a lot of shit about like, how are you guys not going to the Masters? And it's like, dude, we're gonna, if we go, like, you can't go inside the ropes, you can't bring your phone out, you can't take pictures, you can't take video. Like, we're gonna be sitting inside the media center
watching on TV,
like we might as well watch it on our own TV,
right? At home. Yeah, that's why everyone's like so confused, and
we wouldn't get credentialed anyways.
Right.
The way we cover golf is getting enough context on the front end, but then watching it through the lens that everybody else watches it through, and giving commentary.
Yeah. So while everyone's pounding the keyboard in there, we're gonna have some live shows.
I don't know, man. Like I've been the only day I've never been on Sunday. But even on Saturday, like it gets so bunched up, and there's so many people following the same groups. Where Thursday, Friday, 100,000%, I want to go. Yeah. But Saturday, Sunday, I would 1,000% rather watch it on TV.
Not to mention, it's the best telecast experience you can have.
Thanks to Joe Ford.
Proud partners.
We are going to be doing live shows at the end of every round. Yeah. So that's one of the reasons why we're not going to be there as well. The Kill House, we actually got the Kill House set up now.
It looks like a house. It looks like a residence.
Yeah. So we're, as soon as play ends on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, join the live show on Periscope. Send your questions in. We're going to do it big for this week. So super excited.
Big Randy will be down here.
And Big Randy will be here. It's getting real. All right. This is one of, I think it's, I didn't jot down the names of everyone that submitted these questions, but this question. You get to pick one hole. You make par or better, you live. Bogey or worse, and you die.
Jesus.
What hole do you pick? It's such a good question.
I'm going to say two.
That's what I was going to say.
That's what I had, two.
Really?
Yeah, two. It's either two or eight, but eight's uphill. And it's like, all right, no, I couldn't. If you get on the wrong side of one of those mounds.
Two, you can spray it right. Eight, you can keep it. Like, it plays to, like,
two plays to the wipey fade. Yeah, if we have the Sunday pin.
Exactly. You got plenty of green.
Scrape one over to that right side
of the
green.
Just make sure you get it over the bunker.
Totally.
Andy said 13. There's too much trees there.
I would blow it into the trees, and then I'd punch it into the creek.
And that green's tough.
And that
15 definitely wouldn't be the one.
15, I would.
I could make nine.
I would leave my layup in the wrong spot and hit off the downslope. I'd hit it into the water.
Yeah, like.
And
like
I'd blade it over the green.
16, I'd worry about if it was a lower 16, pin. Yeah. I'd worry about being on the upper shelf.
Do or
like
die. I mean,
then
it's
putting.
Do or die. It comes down to one shot.
Yeah. Maybe 14, but I don't know. I feel like 15 too. You could get. You've got enough.
What tees
are
you playing,
or
by the
two?
Way?
You've
backs. I think.
You've got enough margin for error.
Yeah.
To where you can recover from a bad drive and get yourself still in a decent spot for this third shot.
Man, that's such a good question.
That's a great question. What if you, the three of us plus Andy, play? And Andy's like a plus two handicap.
Yeah. By
the way. Played back tees, scramble, would we make the cut at the Masters?
Yes.
Yes.
I think we'd win the tournament.
I don't think we'd win.
I think we'd win.
Andy's good.
We would never make a bogey. I mean,
no,
if we did,
we
make
would
like
make
a bogey. I think we'd make a bogey.
The scramble?
Yeah, because you get so over-aggressive.
Yeah.
I
could see us. I mean, you miss, so.
Think about four.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Four,
four.
You know.
Or even six. Like,
well,
six is hard.
We talked about hitting like the greens in the wrong spots or something. You know, it's. It's definitely not a given that all four of us are going to hit the green in the the correct spot. So we're going to be putting from some bad spots.
I think,
and then I could see us three putting for sure.
I still think
I stink.
Oh, we do. But scrambles are so easy. You don't make bogeys in scrambles.
I guess. I don't know. You guys didn't inspire a lot of confidence when I was following you at the Kia. You didn't make a lot of putts.
We shot 28 on the back nine.
Yeah. Well, you had a tour player with you though too.
Well, that helps. But Andy's
would four be our pick for? Going back to that previous question.
Also, Andy would be stroking
out
the whole
time. You get
to pick one hole. About pointing out all the things that were wrong with Augusta. He would be too triggered. He wouldn't be able to play well.
Andy likes Augusta.
If you had to pick one hole, like just the hardest hole in the course, the one that you have the most problems making par on, would it be four?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Or seven.
Although four might be like a comfortable driver for me, honestly. Just like a bunt.
Like a scrape.
Just like a bunt driver, hit it up by the green, like chip and putt.
Moab.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a hole where I would like make double more than I would make anything else.
I feel like 10. I would really struggle on 10.
No, because you drive it so well that I think you'd be okay.
I think that green would just get way deep in my head.
With the shadows and stuff there, I could see that.
Yeah, and just the way the whole thing's canted.
What if you could replace...
That's such a good question. I really like that one.
If you could replace one member of the CBS commenting crew, who would it be and who gets their spot? I'm assuming we mean for Augusta.
I mean, I would Faldo for Johnny, just eat probably. Yeah,
that's
right?
The one. That's the move.
Yeah.
That's the only answer, isn't it?
I mean, can we talk about Gary Player saying that Faldo is not only the best announcer in the game, but was the most unbiased,
just not talking
not
about
patriotic.
Gary Player and not give him any more.
I mean, that was fantastic. Remember when Rose was up against Spieth in 15? How Faldo, I swear, was going to come out of the booth and start reading putts for Rose. He was rooting for him so hard.
I loved it when we were watching the telecast the other night from 2004, and Faldo is talking over the caddy convo between Phil and Bones. Right?
It was the 2010 Masters when he was in the pine straw.
On 13
on that Sunday, and like you can still hear it over Faldo talking, so you can hear the conversation, but he talked over like one of the greatest, like the best, like do I go for it or do I not conversations like in modern Masters history, and Faldo is talking over it. Like
that sums it up for you right there.
It's the absolute worst.
I miss Peter Osterhaus.
Yeah.
I love Vern. Vern on 16 is awesome.
Yeah, Vern might have lost a step. He had a couple miscues. I remember
like an
from last year.
Old cherub.
No, thing. I'm in. But you know, as far as kind of really bringing the heat.
You know who I'm replacing? If we're beyond Faldo, Bill McAtee.
Yeah, on the telecast.
He's just like replacement 14th level.
Oh, it's the first time I'm hearing about this.
Exactly. There you go. Just generic filler.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I miss Faraday. I miss Faraday a lot.
Yeah. What hole? He had what, 15?
He did 15.
Yeah.
He was there for when Tiger hit that shot in 2011, hit the twirl, and all that stuff. All right. If Bryson invented a time machine and you could go back and change the result of any one shot in Masters history, what would you change?
Oh, man. That's a good question, too. Definitely have Phil make that putt on 13 after the shot out of the pine straw.
He went on and won.
Yeah, I guess. That's true.
What about Tiger actually making that putt in 2011 after stuffing it on 15 for Eagle? He missed like the
four. Or Tiger not hitting the flag stick on 15.
Oh, yeah. That's the one.
Yeah.
I think that's the one.
I mean, I feel like we've got some recency bias here.
Yeah, for sure.
Masters history.
Spieth not hitting in the water on 12 with his first shot.
God, that was tough.
that was a rough one.
That's a rough one.
You know what? I don't know why this has always stuck with me, but I wish Kenny Perry would have mucked up that playoff.
You're a big Kenny Perry guy?
I think Kenny Perry...
You're wearing your hat very high on your head right now.
I think Kenny Perry would have been a phenomenal Masters champion. He's a gentleman. I really like Kenny Perry. It would have been very on brand for him to win, and I think he's got an underrated career.
Yeah. So. He was a monster for a while.
He was a killer.
Yeah. Okay. I can get down on that.
So we've had a lot of fun rewatching a lot of the the final round Masters telecasts. Have you guys got to watch many of them? Which ones are your favorite to rewatch, or which ones should be before the tournament starts?
I feel like I was always like, I haven't watched a ton of them this year. I watched 2004 with you guys. I popped into just a bit of the 97 one just because it's fun to watch. I feel like I was always kind of looking at a lot of them on just YouTube, just like random clips that were already on there. So it's cool that they put the actual official versions.
It adds the context of all the things that happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you forget certain things. Like,
I mean, 2011 was nuts.
Madhouse.
Yeah.
I mean, I had forgotten that Rory was leading when he hit that ball like in the cabins on 10. I thought he had blown it more on the front nine. He only shot one over, I think, on the front.
I'm a huge fan of, I mean, just like obviously finding out what happened, or not finding out, but rewatching, you know, what happened in the tournament is cool. But the fashion stuff is awesome. Like Rory's got that like horrible Oakley shirt on, and it's just the Jumeirah hat.
He was like in between fit. Yeah. Like he got totally fit, I think, the next year, but he was like weirdly kind of fat still in 2011.
The only thing I would say is I kind of wish on some level that they left the commercials in there.
Yeah.
Oh, I love watching.
I think that would be pretty cool.
There's always some random Anthony Kim sightings, like in 2010 and 2011. He went nuts for a while.
Remember when Anthony Kim made 11 birdies in one day?
That's I knew that, but just hearing you say it out loud is shocking. He made a double and two bogeys on that day, I think. So he shot 65 or something like that with 11 birdies. God, I miss that guy.
I haven't done it yet, but I want to go back and watch 82 with Craig Stadler wins in a playoff.
I want to watch, was it 77 when Fuzzy won?
Yeah, that one's, yeah.
79.
Yeah, that was a playoff as well. Ed Snead and Tom Watson. That one, just going through like the scores and everything. I mean, that was.
I hope Augusta bananas. Doesn't take, I hope they don't take those down. Because I'd like to do.
I bet they do.
I don't know. I think they'll leave them up.
I kind of want to go
watch. It's different when they put it on their own site. When they put it out on YouTube, it, I don't know. It'd be weird to take them down.
I kind of want to watch 07 just to understand how it happened. How plus one won the Masters, how ZJ won it. I know it was like 45
cold.
Degrees.
It was just cold and windy, right?
Like, firm and whatnot. But
I don't know. Who else? I mean, Tiger was up there, right?
Like, Tiger finished second to
him.
Yeah.
Trying to
Retief, Rory Sabatini, and Tiger.
Man.
20. I mean, even
Tiger
last year.
Tiger didn't break 72. 73, 74, 72, 72 that week.
It's amazing even to watch 17s. Like, and you always you remember Sergio winning, but you forget the sequence of events.
For sure.
You forget him going into the trees on 13 when he was two down, thinking it was like over. And then Eagles 15, and like I forgot that Rose bogeyed 17 and had a putt on the 72nd hole to win it. And then Sergio had a putt to win it, missed it. And
I think I forgot all those things that you just said.
Right? Yeah. That's what makes these things so awesome. It's so easy to get
sucked
in on them.
I remember him like 15, on number 15. That's about it. But yeah, it's funny how disposable all these come as soon as you get done watching them.
All right. This is a little bit of a shorter episode, but we've had a lot of guests on the last couple eps, but wanted to get our Masters takes out there in advance. We're obviously pretty fired up. Again, reminder, tune into the live show every night, live on Periscope and on Twitter. And we'll see you guys then.
See ya.
Crack on.
Be the right club. Be the right club today. Yes!
Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most!
Expect